A while back, the Dublin Writers Centre contacted me, was it over a year ago now, and said we are trying to do something for the centenary of the 1916 Rising. So they kind of said to me, we're giving you the Garden of Remembrance. And I said, thanks. And they said, could you spend some time there and think about it? And so that's exactly what I did. So late last year, actually this time last year, October and November, I spent a lot of time in the Garden of Remembrance, sitting there with the African mothers and their children and the homeless, who always gathered together when the sun is shining in the Garden of Remembrance, and thinking about the GPO and the 1916 Rising and things like that. So I'll read that, what I wrote for the Dublin Writers' Centre. Before I do that, let me just read one or two other poems. Question time. Question time at the end of another election year. Senators and their wives dancing on the ballroom floor. Children in corners dropping crisps and cream. Their fathers ordering them home. Their mothers in crinoline having to put them outside to sulk in the Christmas dark. Enmities dissolving now in a sea of drink and smoke and talk. Who was Robert Emmett's mistress? Who was Kitty O'Shea? Which IRA man was shot on his own wedding day? How many death warrants did Kevin O'Higgins sign? So much to answer between the buffet meal and wine. But the prize is a week in Brussels, money for two, and kisses from two Euro MPs just passing through. Anyway, those were the kind of poems that were about 30 years ago. The President's Men, the non-line storyteller, was published in 1984 when I was 30. The President's Men. There's dust on Mr. Green's boots. Where has he been canvassing, I wonder? What house has unlatched a half day of harvest work to listen to his talk? My father knows the party poll, the roll calls of promise, the roads we shall take when I am older in search of power. We'll find it like cress on farms of green and vegetable water. The sound of bagpipe music, just listen. From my father's shoulder I can see above the crowd Mr. Dean's careful grade, men struggling to keep the roadway open, sunlight in my father's hair, the glitter of piper's braids, the President's cavalcade. And I continued on writing poems in that vein, getting kind of closer to what I should have been writing about it. A few years after, I wrote a poem called The Waiting Deputies. I'm from County Waterford, and I was driving through County Waterford at the end of polling day through Capoquin and Lismore and Tallow, and the lights were going out in the those kind of crossroads polling booths, the national schools, and I thought, what an interesting time it is in a country's life when the votes have been cast but they haven't been counted. They're all inside in the boxes. And so politicians at that moment have absolutely no power. The people have spoken. Tonight, I drive through my native county. 10 o'clock, all the canvassing over. The lights go out in the last polling booth. Incumbents await their final transfer. What is it my childhood meant to say, I wonder? Just one version of the truth will out tomorrow when seals are broken. I drive through the latest interregnum, as November drove through here for weeks. Posters lie torn in the exhausted towns of Dungarvan and Lismore. The rainstorm of polling day has abated. The night speaks to me like an old detective. It protects the boxes and seals power. Who will be responsible for my childhood when the votes are counted? Where will the blame fall? The way I live now prevents any party from looking good. What I write, remember, and feel excludes me from a well-connected world. When I was poor, these men did business as if nothing happened. I was told they have power to attend to. They used to sail in and out of our demented terraces. The unopened boxes will see me write. My parish sleeps on its pillow of votes. Capoquin, between the river and the trees, ignores its grumbling questioner, its poet. It sleeps upon favours. In the calm of night, they wait with me, the would-be deputies.
Yeah.
Gardener Semple Yearns. We've been in this small room since daybreak. I look out on America, sunlight on the great plain of a neighbor's roof, an Ojibwa spirit racing by. We lie at ease for our own sake. The frenzy of late March, our 90s Puritan need for work, can't move us from our perch. You do move your arm, grown a little numb from the weight of me. We both talk of home and how we must go back. From this bed where we made love, I can see more than a winter creature basking in light. A college mower goes by, but squirrels hang on. Late March America is theirs completely, all 10,000 lakes and 1,000 islands. Our own life has the sandalwood vapour of night, marked with the fresh touch of your mouth, love and story, the accent of the South. Yet what might have been written was suspended, the way yard work is in a Minnesota winter. We held our breath. Now, see the winter heads of clematis, the winter colour of bergenia or skimmia, with its white panicles of fragrance upended. We see again the private lust of poems and paralysis of poetry in a time of war, and how undeterred Uxus keeps its shape year after year in memoriam. Thank you very much.